we understand that what they've done to the black race, and BET is a good example, for 20 years, you see the filth that they send through our communities, our kids, anti-American, anti-family, anti-woman, anti-God. That's what they've been feeding through our organization, our communities for 20 years. They're now doing it to the rest of America. Understand who they are. And we're in a fight for the heart and soul of our nation. And as big as we, as much as we dream and as optimistic as we are as a people, we need to pull back the curtain to realize we're in a fight. And just like it was with 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, once we know we're in the fight, we do our best to win. And that's what we need to do, is win this fight against this evil ideology, socialism, Marxism, and atheism, and the people that hide behind it, the cowards.
It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Colin Kaepernick, a former San Francisco 49ers quarterback, is back in the news after having settled a collusion case with the National Football League. In 2016, Kaepernick set off a firestorm by kneeling during the national anthem. The recent speculation is that he may soon sign a contract with the New England Patriots or the Carolina Panthers. Kaepernick's 2016 kneeling on the job was portrayed by the media as a one-man protest against racial injustice. It continues to impact the NFL's bottom line. Joining me today to discuss the settlement between the National Football League and Colin Kaepernick is Burgess Owens. Burgess is a former National Football League player for the New York Jets and the Oakland Raiders, and he now serves as the executive director of One Heart Project, Utah. So, Burgess, welcome to the Be the People show.
Carol, how you doing? I'm looking forward to chatting with you about this. This is an interesting topic, and it's actually a topic that I kind of looked at in my latest book, which is called Why I Stand, From Freedom to the Killing Fields of Socialism. And I have spent an entire chapter on NFL and their collusion together to keep this thing going for the last 3 years. I talked about why it benefited them to demean their American flag, the American brand, how it actually benefits their international growth. Also, the connection that they have, the NFL, with their marketing arm, Nike, which paid Kaepernick $5 million to be their face, the brand of their new global business.
Let me slow you down here. Are you saying that the NFL was involved somehow with this protest and it benefited them?
Yes. Oh, yes. And this is what people need to understand. The NFL could have ended this 3 years ago. And basically, the way they've always handled everything that is not good for them, they shut it down quickly by fining players or fining them. But what we have here is a group of elitists. We have a group of globalists, the ones that are now running the NFL, that truly benefit from their global expansion of their league because they realize that it's capped out here in America. It's all about TV revenue, Carol, and this is what Americans need to understand. We're dealing with not only the globalists who care about their profits over patriotism, but also leftists who care about their politics over patriotism. And we have a league that's capped out their TV revenue about $14 billion, and they've done everything they can to demean their brand so that it's an attractive brand to countries like China and France and Mexico and the other 200 different marketplaces that they would like to see themselves going into. So what Nike stands for is actually the future of the NFL. Nike right now is an American company that's finding all their profitability in places like China. That's where their new market is. And what Nike did during this process, when everybody is leaving the NFL, they're stopping their viewership, they're stopping going to the games, Nike stands up as the marketing arm for NFL and signs Kaepernick to a $5 million per year contract to be their brand. Just recently, this last week, Nike, the marketing arm of the NFL, just set up an unlimited jersey. They just developed an unlimited jersey for number 7 for Kaepernick. that they're going to now sell, get out and sell, sell to the marketplace. So, these are guys that are not, they don't really care about the NFL fan. They don't care about the disruption and the division that NFL has now caused to our country. NFL, when I was growing up, was a place of harmony and unity, a place you can come to, those, a safe space, that no matter what your politics were, you came to support your team, salute the flag, feel the patriotism, and we came together because it was all about meritocracy. We now have a league for the last 3 years that's been a very forefront of dividing our country. We have young boys, 7, 8 years old, that will sit on their helmet instead of standing for the flag because their heroes are now showing them that this country is a racist place. So the NFL and Roger Goodell is one of our problems now, and we need to understand that. Now, again, I have it in a full chapter to understand what socialists, Marxists, and atheists do. They use, abuse, and discard, and that's what they've done to the American fan who loves our country, loves our flag, and has loved the past brand of the NFL.
Burgess, what do the NFL stand to benefit from pushing this narrative that America is a place, you know, that demeans blacks, and this social justice narrative that somehow Kaepernick stood up to fight against racism and police brutality, that he's being held as a hero by the political left. So why would the NFL want to perpetuate that image across the world?
Well, first of all, we have to understand that the NFL, the folks that are running the NFL, unlike the days of Val Davis and Pete Rozelle, they are leftists. So there's two things about what leftists are doing. They care about their profitability over patriotism. They want to be like what the Soccer World League is today. Soccer has a big event, the World Soccer Cup, and every year in over 200 countries turn the TVs on, no matter where they are, and they look in and they support it. NFL will have to take the 80 countries that they're now in. They have NFL teams made of Chinese people in China, made of French people in France. I mean, there's 80 other countries now that NFL has a presence in over the last decade or so. They want to expand that to 200 countries. And the best thing they can do is to demean the American flag so it's more attractive to Marxist and socialist countries like China or France or England, where all of a sudden the American brand is not as attractive. So they don't mind demeaning it. The other part of it is that they're leftists. And leftists want to push the Marxist and socialist agenda. And keep in mind that when Kaepernick started this whole thing, he started this during the presidential election. It's during a time when the leftist loves to have their right to vote or get out to vote for black people by making them angry, and they go out and vote. And this is where it all started. So if we were able to pull back the curtains, by the way, just recently, the Players Coalition, which is what the NFL paid $50 million to what's called a Players Coalition. And the Players Coalition is something supposed to be, according to the media, designed and led by players. But like what leftists do, it's not. By a seven to five vote margin, the owners literally run and control the Players Coalition and where and how that $50 million is being spent. Just recently, they spent $3.8 million on an organization that took part in. It's called the Advanced Project, which is anti-ICE, anti-borders, anti-police for the last 20 years, and these are the kind of leftist organizations that the left, that the NFL is now supporting. So we need to pull back the curtains and recognize what the NFL is doing today is exactly what the NAACP did back in 1910 when 20 Marxist socialists, atheists, white Democrats started NAACP. It's the same thing that the BET, Black Entertainment Television, which is not owned by black people. It's owned by Viacom, a socialist, a very wealthy Redstone, some of the Redstone. This is the way these guys operate. They have this facade in which they look like they're really supporting and helping black people. In the meanwhile, all they're doing is pulling us down with the ideology of socialism, Marxism, and atheism. That's the true leftist way, and they use us, abuse us, and discard us in every chance they get.
Well, Burgess, we need to take a break, and when we return, I want to talk about what the American people can do, especially blacks, to push back.
Are you wondering what we can do about immigration? Then get your copy of my newly released book, Debating Immigration, the second edition, available at Amazon, Cambridge University Press, and all major booksellers.
our goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with my guest, Burgess Owens, and we're talking about Colin Kaepernick and his recent settlement with the NFL. And there's speculation that he may sign a contract soon to play football with the New England Patriots or the Carolina Panthers. Burgess, what do you think the likelihood is that he signs with the Patriots? And if he signs with the Patriots, is he expected to be patriotic?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I don't know what the plans are. I know this. They paid this guy somewhere between $60 to $80 million, reportedly, because he felt entitled. The guy felt entitled to a position someplace because he felt that his career had not come to an end. That's a very interesting approach for any business owner and business employee, to feel entitled to a job when you're actually demeaning the brand and turning fans away. So I'm not sure what the NFL is going to do next. I'll say this. I think our fans, America, needs to understand that we're in a fight. It has always been our Judeo-Christian values that stood so strong to make us the greatest country in the history of mankind, that brings us together, and that the Marxist, atheist, and socialist has always divided us. This is the fight we're in, and I don't care how nice they package it. They're packaging it right now in the NFL. The NFL leadership is not our friends. They're not the friends of the American people, the American way, or our culture. They're dividing us everywhere they can, and they're doing it in a very subtle way. So I think the key is, first of all, we need to educate ourselves. Recognize that we have to be a people of principles and values. And personally, I can care less about these entertainers. If they're against our country, against our people, dividing us, I will not look at them. I will not buy one single thing that they advertise on TV, because that's what it's all about for these guys.
You're right.
So if we educate ourselves, and it's starting off with, read the book, Why I Stand, From Freedom to the Killing Fields of Socialism. The entire chapter will give you an eye-opening experience of understanding what these guys are and what we've been fighting for over 100 years, because they're simply doing the same thing that the NAACP has been doing for 100 years, demeaning and undermining our culture, our foundation, and they do it in such a subtle and devious way that most people miss it.
Well,
so we need to educate ourselves, Carol.
Burgess, I believe that a lot of Americans look at the NFL halftime show, the ones that tune in, and they are appalled by what is being presented on the TV during halftime. And it feeds into your message that the people who run the NFL, they don't care about the American Judeo-Christian culture or the young children that are watching the show with their parents or relatives.
And Carol, I tell you, all you have to do is look at what they've done to the black race. And you and I, we grew up understanding the pride of a race that was not going to be defeated. They will take everything that was going against them and turn it around and beat them. And that's what we did. But we now have a country in which we have white elitists, white socialist Marxists, and blacks, by the way. The John Lewis's are part of the problem. The Colin Kaepernick's, these people who will never, ever sit up and articulate themselves. But they use their face as a brand, and they have other people backing them up. At the end of the day, if we understand that what they've done to the black race, and BET is a good example, for 20 years, you see the filth that they've sent through our communities, our kids, anti-American, anti-family, anti-woman, anti-God, that's what they've been feeding through our organization, our communities for 20 years. They're now doing it to the rest of America. Understand who they are. And we're in a fight for the heart and soul of our nation. And as much as we dream, and as optimistic as we are as a people, we need to pull back the curtain to realize we're in a fight. And just like it was with 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, once we know we're in the fight, we do our best to win. And that's what we need to do, is win this fight against this evil ideology of socialism, Marxism, and atheism. And the people that hide behind it, the cowards, like the Roger Goodell, hide behind the curtains, use our young men, use our race, and use the idea of compassion to actually undermine our country. That's who they are. We need to understand and not support them any chance we get a chance not to support them.
Well, Burgess, when you travel to speak and you talk about these issues, what kind of response do you get from the audience?
It's interesting because those who come to listen find it intriguing because the first thing I do is I share the success of the black race that most people have no idea about. When I talk about a race that led our country in the commitment of men to marriage over 7%, the growth of the middle class over 50%, the growth of the percentage of entrepreneurs over 40% going up until the 1960s, when I tell that story, it's an eye-opening experience. So all of a sudden, many are willing to listen. Of course, unless they're the Black Lives Matters, the Marxist Black Lives Matters people, they don't care to listen. They're not there to learn. They're there to destruct. And so we're always dealing with that other faction, the bullies and the cowards who don't want us to learn, don't want us to educate, don't want us to come together, recognize who they are, but yet we still have to be courageous enough to get the message out. And Carol, what we're doing right now, this is how we win. We communicate. You take a risk in building a business. I take the risk of giving this message. And together we get out. The people are educated. And how, wherever people are, no matter what their personalities are, figure out a way to add to our solution. Don't sit back. Educate yourself. And even if it's just making sure your kids are educated and smart and patriotic, if that's all you can do with your personality right now, do it. That adds our country's strength. But we need to make sure we're working together to beat this evil, evil force of socialism, Marxism that's trying to take over our country.
Well, Burgess, when you talk with people where there may be members of Black Lives Matter, do you get a sense that the average person who's talking about Black Lives Matters, do they know that it's Marxism? Do they really believe that it's an organization that cares about black people?
Well, if they have the chance to hear the different messages, the sad thing is we're in the days of the Nazi propaganda tool. That's basically what we're dealing with. The left is right now with CNN and MSNBC. They can care less about the truth. Washington Post, it's all about propaganda. So those who are, there are good people out there that listen to these sources that have no idea about the things I'm talking about right now because they're not going to be told. Their purpose is not told that. Your Black Lives Matter are people that have been coming through the system, coming out of these liberals schools, and they have no clue about what the free market looks like, what capitalism is all about, and how detrimental and devious Marxism is because they're not taught about God. Once we teach our kids and get back to our Judeo-Christian values, teach and talk about God, no matter how you worship him, everything from that point becomes very obvious that we're in a fight between evil, darkness, and light. And if we understand that, then we have a choice, and that choice will allow us to either be blessed or not. I have the confidence in the American people that we first of all know that God's there for us, and he hasn't given up on us, and that we'll continue to win this fight as long as we educate ourselves and realize that we the people are the ones, like you said, be the people.
Right.
We the people need to be the people. We do that, we're in good shape. Okay.
We're going to take another break, and when we return, I want you to talk about your organization.
There are speakers, and then there are great speakers who know the importance of creating that memorable moment. Well, the key to any successful event is an informative and inspirational speaker. Professor Dr. Carol Swain is that gifted speaker. She delivers passionately from the heart every time. To find out more about booking Carol for your next great event, simply go to carolmswain.com. Click on Public Speaking and then click the blue Book Carol tab.
I'm back with my guest, Burgess Owens. Burgess, tell us about One Heart Project Utah.
Okay. Again, Carol, I'm blessed to grow up in the era that you and I grew up in, because I know what our race is capable of. And it's been heavy on my heart the last 30 years to see how far we've gone and how we're not allowing our kids to have a chance. We have 70% of black men that forsake their family. You're looking at boys and girls who just have no idea what it is to be committed, to be successful, to be courageous. So what I would have done, I'm working with One Heart Utah, and it's actually working with young people coming out of the juvenile system, giving them a second chance and understand this country is a place of second chance, and they can do anything and move forward. So we surround them with education, with mentoring, with jobs, a message that they can overcome. The goal is to take that 70% of those kids coming out of the juvenile system, about 100,000 per year right now, 70% go back in, called recidivism, go right back in because they don't have a change of heart, a change of way of thinking. We want to take that down to 18 to 20%, which we've done in some of our chapters, so that they now can go out and become productive. At the end of the day, I believe this. Our young people, the people that are, the left has thrown away as trash, and they show they don't have jobs, they don't have education. I believe that those of us who believe in our American way, the Christian-based people in this country, look at these kids as our treasure. And once we get them back and they understand the American way, they'll never, ever go back to the dark side. That group of young people, I really believe, will pull our race back from the abyss of socialism. And because the left, Democrats, have been so addicted to the black vote, and once they stop voting that way, I believe we as a race can pull our nation back, because we will be the people of principle and values voting for the American way, because our kids will understand that they have a second chance and only can do that here in this country. So I believe this is where we'll finally get our country back. And to be honest with you, I think that's going to be the greatest legacy of the black race, is what we've done to restore our commitment to God and the American way.
And have you been doing this program long enough to see young people go through it and graduate and start their lives afresh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been around in Dallas and Houston and Indianapolis and Kansas for about 4 or 5 years. I've been here in Utah for the last couple of years. We're seeing results. We're doing those things that we're measuring. By the way, we're measuring results. The key to anything we do now, it's not just a matter of hypothetical. We need to have ways of measuring it. And that's what we're doing. We're actually making sure in every program we put together, there is a way of statistically measuring it so we can scale this out. My goal is to take the program we have here, make it work, surround it with as many different options as possible, measure it, then scale it, and take it out to other parts of the country, Chicago and Baltimore and Philadelphia, that might not have the resources we have here, but have kids that have the same needs, and we can make sure we change those hearts also.
Well, if someone wanted to start a program like that in their city, what steps would you suggest they follow?
I would suggest they reach out to me. I can be reached on my Facebook page, Burgess Owens, Official Burgess Owens. Also, we have our website that we have up, oneheart.com, and take a look at that. But if you reach out to me, and my email address, I mean, just look at my website, BurgessOwensTalks.com, BurgessOwensTalks, like we're doing right now, plural.com. You can actually reach out, and I can direct you to those areas that we're already in place and places that we're looking at moving into. But it's a program that if America understands, we get our kids back, we get our country back. It's always been about our next generation. We do that, and in the end, we win.
Well, you know, I always enjoy talking with you because you're filled with such passion, and anyone listening knows that you really care about these issues. You know, you love people, you love black people, you love America, and I applaud you for being out there, because I know that when you're out there, you take a lot of blows.
Well, you know, keep in mind, that's what we do. That's the American way. We've always stood up for what's right, and that's why we have a country that's so different than everybody else. And I'll say this, Carol, I really do this from the bottom of my heart. Right now, manhood is what's being attacked. We've always had a race full of real men. I grew up around them. My dad was, thank goodness, and my uncles were all part of that. We get our men back, and what men do very simply is they prioritize the respect of womanhood. Once we understand that at the end of the day, it's all about how women can impact our nation through the nurturing, through the love of the unconditional love they have for their kids, and that's how our country trajects to the right place. And all men are here to do is make sure that we protect womanhood so they can do what they need to do to keep our country safe and not only safe, but more with a passion, with a love and a good heart. So that's the message. Let's man up. Once we get our men back in place, our women will feel comfortable and confident to do what they do best, raise our kids to be great Americans, and we win the fight again big time.
Well, one of the things that we've talked about previously was the voting patterns of black men, that more of them are moving away from the Democratic Party. Some of them are voting Republican. Others may have become independent. There's more movement among black men than black women. What do you think that's about?
It's encouraging. It's encouraging me. And this is the nature of men, basically. When men feel they're getting an opportunity to man up, because what the left does, they take away everything, an essence of manhood. They make sure we're not educated. They make sure we don't have jobs. They tell us that to be courageous is against women. So in essence, when men can feel once again that they do what we're here to do, they can work, they can vision, they can protect, they can have women to respect us. You can't find a better feeling man than that kind of person. So once men are given an opportunity, that's what's happened now. When you start finding jobs like what President Trump is now doing, taking us down to close to 4%, we're having jobs. We can now look at being a producer. That is a very attractive to any man. So we went from 16% of black men supporting candidate Trump to what my last reports I've got is the close to 36% supporting President Trump. Why? And it's with all the messaging of being a racist, at the end of the day, when men feel that they can do what we're supposed to do, get a job, protect, provide, and lead, boy, we feel good about it. And we can support anything, anybody who gives us those great feelings. So we're just beginning. We just have to keep getting the message out past the propaganda that we're winning this fight, because all of a sudden we're talking about getting our kids educated, getting our kids jobs, all those things that it takes. Once we get that message out, then people feel even more hopeful. And you're right, it doesn't matter if we go become Republicans, as long as we're independent thinking people, voting for values and principles first, we will end up voting for the right people. And it will not be Democrats, by the way, because they're not our friends, have not been our friends forever.
Well, Burgess, thank you so much for being on the Be the People show.
Carol, it's my pleasure, and I would love to. We talked just about this before, but I would love to. We can do this once a month. I'd love to do it. But it's your choice. I just know I'm available whenever you want to talk. We'll love to do that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Burgess has given us a lot of information to think about when it comes to the NFL and the black community and just various things that seem to be pulling the black community away from God, away from family. He believes, and I believe too, that we can turn these things around, that it doesn't have to be what we see. And so for you all, and for me, and for all of us, we have to keep remembering that under our Constitution, it's we the people. We the people elect the politicians, and we're responsible for what we see as outputs. It's up to us to be the people who change America and our world.